When Hugh Latimer was preaching one day in the presence of King Henry VIII, he reports that he said to himself, "Latimer, Latimer, remember that the king is here. Be careful what you say." And then he said to himself, "Latimer, Latimer, remember that the King of Kings is here. Be careful what you do not say." For such unflinching faithfulness, Latimer was eventually burned at the stake. But he feared failing God more than he feared offending man. Let's pray. God, help us to care more about what you think of us and what you require of us instead of just trying to fit in and make a safe way for ourselves. We want to impact our world through your love. Use us. We want our lives to make a difference. We pray this in Jesus' name, our Lord. Amen. Our text today comes from Matthew 5. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. Ernie has it up there. Matthew 5, 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him and began to speak and taught them by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Have you ever been in a bad situation and there wasn't any room for escape? I can think of a bunch of them. When I'm 6 years old, out at sea on the raft in our dugout, I lost my balance, and here being directionally challenged did not help me at all. I went for the corner that had the support post and dove right in the water. The post wasn't on that corner, and I couldn't swim. I'm 12 years old. A guy much bigger and older than I am decided he wanted to have a fight with me, my role being the punching bag. He had put other people in the hospital and didn't seem to have an off switch. In the end, there was lots of blood. I'm sure it was all mine. Another time, I'm 23 years old, on Grand Trunk Road, which is a narrow road, at least it felt that way. It had hundreds of feet of drop. I lost control, hugging the mountain in my Dodge Colt, as there were 6 inches of fresh gravel just poured. As I was fishtailing and became more dramatic by the second, the question wasn't if I was going into the ditch, but where. I could go on and on, but I think you know what I mean. You have your own stories. How do we get ourselves in such situations? Or a better question might be, how do we get out of them? In Matthew chapter 5, we have been in the middle of the Beatitudes, where Jesus proclaims blessing and favor in some of the most unusual circumstances. So far, blessed are the poor, those who mourn, those who are hungry and thirsty, the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted. Do any of these attributes describe what you are like or what you want to become? In most of the situations, it appears that those who have the favor of God have the short end of the stick. Somehow in God's kingdom, the last end up being first. The servant is the leader. The homeless find homes. The orphans find families. As Jesus is teaching things to his closest followers, things are somewhat calm, maybe even comfortable, but they will not stay this way for long. Soon they'll be faced with angry crowds, betrayal, and the ultimate crucifixion of Christ, and finally feeling completely and utter abandonment. To be a follower of Jesus Christ will often leave us being confronted by a hostile and violent world. Nothing that we are looking for, but nothing that we can avoid either. I don't know if Jesus' disciples fully knew what they were in for as his followers. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus gives them hints. Matthew 19:29, it says, "And everyone who's given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life." The last part about receiving 100 times as much in the future sounds great, but the present is very tricky. Matthew 10:39, "Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." And then again in Luke 14:28, "But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin a construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it?" To throw one's lot in with Jesus' crew seems really uncertain. There's no clear path to the top of the heap. In fact, it seems more likely that the better place to be is at the bottom of the pile. What God requires can feel so foreign to the way we naturally go about things. The outcome is rather incredible. The first part of today's beatitude: "Blessed are you when people revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely in my account." How do you feel when somebody says things about you that are not true? It hurts. It's unjust, and we can feel angry. We want to be able to defend ourselves. If everyone saw all the facts, it would bear out that none of what was being said is true. The New Living Translation says it like this: "God blesses you when people mock and persecute you and lie about you and say evil things about you because you're my followers." I'm not sure "blessed" is the word I would have come up with. Maybe I could punch them in the nose and then I would feel blessed. I think it's important to remember at times that this wave of unkindness coming our way isn't because of our poor behavior or choices. No, this persecution is because we're trying to live the way of the Christ. When light and darkness collide in the spiritual world, something has to give. Often when people start following Jesus, things get harder and messier, not easier and cleaner. We're swimming upstream from the normal habits and sin that we become used to. There's a battle for our souls going on. So what happens when you start standing with others, helping them from poverty, violence, addictions, and the brokenness of sin? Usually a fight starts to break out. People will strike out when their lifestyles are contradicted or compared to Christ's teaching. We don't like the spotlight on our dark hearts when we have no desire to change. We're much more comfortable trying to earn our way to God than recognize that we're sinners who need Jesus' forgiveness and grace. We don't like God's way. We want our way. God blesses you when you love your neighbors yourself, when we treat others with dignity and respect, when we can rejoice in others' victories like they were our own. But this goes countercultural. In fact, the sign that we are in the will of God may actually be that we're being persecuted. I was part of a pastoral staff once where one of the couples could not make it on what they were getting paid. I said I would take less so more could go to them if it could help. Unfortunately, down the road, there was a rumor that I had embezzled money from the church to give to another pastor. I was asked point blank if it was true. First, I've never had anything to do with the actual finances of any church I've ever been a part of. Secondly, I must be one dumb sack of potatoes to go to all the trouble to embezzle money just to give it away, Robin Hood-like. We can only love others the way we should when God fills us with His love. We don't have this within ourselves. People have talked, and they always will. Rumors, lies, gossip. Either we choose to spend our energies putting out the fires others have started, or we'll put our strength into helping change the world through Christ. It's hard to do both. You know what? There's no, I think, plausible way. If you spent every minute and second the rest of your life, that you could write all the things that have been wronged to you, all the things that have been said, all the things that have been done. And so I'm going to say, don't bother. The one who loves you most knows. He knows all the things that you walk through. He knows all the things that you love and all the things that you care about. The one who knows you best knows. So let's put that at rest and use the rest of our lives trying to help others. If you genuinely want to be a follower of Christ Jesus, you're going to be misunderstood by a world that has different beliefs and values. Everyone is not going to like you because of your identification with Jesus. If upholding your image is the most important thing to you, it will be devastating when others lie. But if we care most about what our Heavenly Father thinks, what others say will still sting, but we will eventually find our way to forgiveness. He calls you daughter. He calls you son. And everything He has is yours for the keeping. We're called to love God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength. And this should be evident in all of our relationships. We need to be a voice for the marginalized and to help defend those who cannot defend themselves. The second part of the Beatitude. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Rejoice, celebrate, jump up and down in delight and let out a cheer. Why? Because others are persecuting you, mocking you, lying about you as a result of your connection to Jesus. The prophets in the Old Testament spoke the words of God, and the people of Israel often responded by killing them because they did not want to hear what they had to say. If people persecute you because of your allegiance to Christ, you are in a good position, similar to the prophets of old, who set a precedent by dying for the truth. When you choose to stick out in a crowd because of staying true to your faith in Jesus, you're going to become a target. I was just reading in Daniel chapter 6 in the Old Testament where those jealous of Daniel tricked the king into agreeing that no one could pray to anyone but the king for 30 days. The consequence being death to anyone who defied this new law. Could you imagine if this was our country and there was a law for 30 days that you couldn't pray to anybody but the person in charge? How did Daniel respond? He kept praying 3 times a day with his window open. This is how he ends up in the lion's den. Augustine tells how in North Africa it became a proverb, if there's no rain, blame the Christians. Because the Christians didn't worship the false gods of the world. Anything bad that happened, it was then assumed it was their fault for being different. We need to move in our life from being people pleasers to being God pleasers. We live in a fast-paced culture that discards anything that doesn't give us instant results. But the spiritual life is often not fast-paced. Rather, it's day in, day out, trusting in a good and loving God. The Lord is rarely in a hurry. He is patient, long-suffering, and forgiving, which each of us need in our lives. Hebrews 13:8, it says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when everyone is running after the next fad, we are anchored to God, who unconditionally loves us, who believes in us, and wants the best for us. Ken Hitchcock was the coach of the St. Louis Blues hockey team. And they asked him how his team could become more effective. He said, I think you have to change your value system. And the value system has to be based on sacrifice. What's good for the group? He says, this is easy to say, but it's very hard to do. If the value system is on the wrong side of the balance between individual and team play, then it becomes a little bit of a me-first attitude. And that's what we're trying to avoid. We're really embracing sacrifice. As followers of Jesus Christ and his church, it has to become more about we and less about us personally. But the only way this will happen is through our willingness to sacrifice to become more like Jesus. In God's kingdom, if we're out of relationship with him, we're often out of relationship with each other. Unless we set our self-made kingdoms down, we will forever be wanting and maybe expecting God to grant us those three wishes. Until we fully surrender to allow Jesus control in our lives, we will always be second-guessing his work in us and wanting to do it our own way. If you want to be a godly person in this life, you will not often get ahead by this world's standards. It'll be difficult to measure success because it won't be measured in possessions, but rather relationships. And suffering will be a companion throughout your life. I bet your mom never told you this when you were growing up. If it's okay to suffer because of your love for God, in fact, expect it. Isaiah 55:8-9. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The idea of suffering on behalf of others is never going to make sense to us as long as we hang on to being number one in our own lives and world. But what if the most satisfying way to live was to share all we had, to prefer someone over ourselves, to serve instead of being served, to, in essence, give your life away on behalf of others? When Jesus comes to die so we can live, he alters the rules of the game, of our human existence and purpose. He promises us a love and a joy that goes beyond our physical circumstances because he promises to never leave or forsake us. Romans 8:17, it says, and since we're his children, we're his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are his heirs of his glory. But if we're to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. Blessed are you when you are treated unfairly, made fun of, gossiped, and lied about because of being a follower of Jesus. In fact, rejoice because the difficulty is a reminder that you're on the right track. The same things that are happening to you have happened to Christians in every period of time. You're not alone. And when this temporal life is done, we'll be ushered into eternity with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful that you are sovereign, that you not only write the final chapter, but allow us to be part of it. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We place our trust in you both now and forever. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Will you please stand with us as we acknowledge what God has said to us this morning?
Just have a couple announcements. I'll do my benediction, and we'll sing one more song. Just a couple announcements. Because it's spring break, Trinity wants spring break. There is no youth this Wednesday. We have plates of food that we're going to put out afterwards. So make sure you grab something before you leave. We don't want you to faint or whatever, going home, not having enough in your stomach. So why is it so difficult? Why is life so difficult? I'll tell you why it's so difficult. It's because it's like we're going upstream fighting the current. Everybody in this world has been brought to believe that the person who has the most toys wins. And you know how you get the most toys? You bulldoze everybody else down that's in your way. And then Jesus comes and he creates a completely different set of rules where he says it's the one who serves, it's the one that loves, it's the one that sacrifices their lives. If I could say this to you, could you imagine if all the difficulties of your life, if we left you here long enough, you could probably have a video screen in front of you, of all the difficulties that you have walked through in life, what if Jesus took that and made something rich out of it? As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that your difficulties, that he will turn into riches in the days ahead. Amen.
Please stand as we close with this song.
I clap with Trinity.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you.
Hosanna, come have your way among us.
welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all.
Have a fabulous week.